There wasn't even the rotting stump of any vegetation to be seen. It was like an infinitely boring succession of rolling dunes, vanishing away in every direction, without any sign of life.
Nothing crawled or swam or walked upon the earth or flew above it. I thought that the place we jumped from was drear enough, but this is worse.
I'm thirsty, Dad.
Stay here a minute. JB, come with me. Let's take a quick wreck. Out of the shade of the redoubt, the temperature was broiling into the high 90s. The sand shimmered, stinking of decay, giving off waves of sultry heat, the horizon shimmering behind a yellowish haze. The sky was the color of bronze, with high banks of cloud obscuring the sun. JB pulled out his mini-sextant and took a bearing on where the light seemed brightest, making quick calculations.
Well, is it the same place, JB?
Yeah, about 200 miles to the west of New Orleans. I don't get this at all, Ryan.
On an impulse, the one-eyed man checked the rad counter fixed to his lapel.
Shit, look.
The tiny safety device was showing a dangerously high radiation count, midway between red and orange, slightly closer to the red.
Hotspot.
The two men looked at each other, both turning away to scan the horizon. Apart from the nondescript low building immediately behind them, there was no sign of any sort of life.
Some kind of big rad leak. Maybe a quake that shifted the land for 100 miles around, drained the swamps into the Gulf. Dark night, I don't know.
It's moving farther into the red.
None of them really knew how precise the little buttons were. The trader had found hundreds of them in a warehouse 10 years earlier, somewhere around Taos. The label on the box had talked about them being a measuring agent for wrenches, and it was obvious that green meant safe and red meant danger. But nobody knew just how dangerous danger was.
We can't stay.
Another jump so close to the last one isn't going to be a lot of laughs.
Rad sickness isn't a lot of laughs. We have to go for it again. Triple danger on a rad hotspot. We gotta jump.
No. I need to rest a while.
Rest a while here, Doc, and your teeth fall out, your gums bleed, and your liver rots. You'll be able to peel off your skin and hang it in a closet.
They made their way quickly back to the chamber, locking the sectors behind them as they went. They entered the actual gateway, sitting in a sullen, depressed circle within the cobalt blue walls. Brian closed the door and squatted next to Christy.
Here we go again.
She held his hand as the mist gathered. The familiar brain-curdling sensation began. Ryan's last sentient thought was that the sore place on its neck was throbbing fit to burst. Doc Tanner was the first to come around, blinking open his eyes, rubbing at them where the lids seemed to have gotten themselves gummed together. His gnarled hand grasped at the silver lion's head handle to his sword stick, and he tried to clear a ball of phlegm that had become lodged somewhere at the back of his throat.
By the three Kennedys!
He looked around the chamber, realizing that the armorglass walls had changed color, indicating at the least that they were somewhere else. He saw that the other six were still unconscious.
For better or for worse. Richer, poorer, health and sickness. Until death or Operation Kronos do us part.
The rich deep blue had changed to a light purple. The silver discs in the floor and ceiling of the six-sided room had ceased to glow, and all but the last frail tendrils of white mist had disappeared.
I feel amazingly well. Life of the old dog yet. Best wine comes in old bottles. Many a fine tune played on an old fiddle. I don't much like the constant repetition of that word old. Senior. A gray panther. Not a wrinkly. Perdition, take that one. Mature.
Doc looked across to see that Dean was blinking his way toward waking.
The oldest and the youngest. Perhaps this is an omen of sorts.
The boy's face was as white as wind-washed bone. His dark eyes glittered in the caverns of his skull, and his mouth opened a little way.
Steady as she goes, lad.
Doc crawled slowly across to the young boy, wincing as his knees cracked and protested. Dean looked up at the old man, For a moment his face showed only fear. Then he managed a smile.
Oh, my fucking head. I didn't recognize you, Doc. Just for a minute I thought... I don't know what it was I thought.
Rest easy, Dean. Don't sit up until you feel like it. Triple jumps are triple painful.
Mildred was lying on her right side, both hands thrust between her thighs, like a small child seeking comfort. There was a little crust of blood beneath her nostrils, and more showing among the beaded plaits by her left ear.
Dr. Wyeth, are you returning to the land of the bagels? Sorry, I mean the land of the angels. Dangling angles. Shut up, you old fool, Theo.
I'll never drink again, Mama. I promise you.
Take it slow.
I've died and gone to Hades. That's the only explanation for seeing you, Doc.
Welcome to I know not where.
Michael and Dad are triple grunge.
Sorry. I'm too busy deciding whether to die or not, Dean. Give me a couple of minutes to rejoin the living dead.
Living dead, Mildred. Not sure about the living bit. Gaia, the only good thing about pain is that your memory of it gets distorted and dimmed. If it didn't, then I don't think I would ever, ever make another jump. The price is too high.
Christie's crimson hair was curled so tightly around her head that it looked like a silken bathing cap. As Christie tried to sit up, she slid sideways, banging her face against the wall.
Can I offer you some assistance, my dear lady?
Don't be kind to me, Doc. The way I feel right now, I could just burst into tears.
The old man was first on his feet, steadying himself with the sword stick.
Yeah, well, I believe that John Barrymore Dix will soon be with us again.
Dean had slithered over on hands and knees, touching his father on the cheek.
Real hot.
J.B. opened his mouth, and a trickle of dark, venous blood ribboned between his lips. Mildred had just managed to drag herself into a sitting position.
Probably bit his tongue or the inside of his cheek, I think. I hope.
Dad feels like he's on fire.
I'm sure he's okay, son.
Feel his head.
All right.
Mildred edged over until she was beside Ryan and the boy. She put the flat of her hand on the man's forehead, and her eyes opened wider. She took her hand off, then replaced it. Dean caught the expression of concern on the doctor's face.
Well?
Yeah, he is hot, Dean. Got a real fever here. Soon as we get out of here, we should try and do something to bring it down again. Feels like at least 100.
That snapped Christie out of her own comatose state. She fingered a small bruise that had sprung up on her cheek.
Must have fallen asleep again. What's wrong with Ryan?
Fever.
Could be that scratch he's got on his neck from those swift and evil muties.
Mildred half-rolled Ryan over, noticing to her own private worry that he seemed utterly unresponsive, moving with the inert weight of the dead. She checked his pulse, which was fast but regular, without any of the flickering erratic speed of a serious illness. The chamber was brightly lit, and it was easy to see the wound, and the way that it had altered for the worse within the past couple of hours.
Well,
not too good.
The wound was a jagged tear, slightly deeper at its top, narrowing. It was impossible to be sure, but it didn't look too deep. But it was obviously seriously infected. There was a yellow streak through its clawed center, liquid and leaking, and an inflamed red at the core of the wound that extended in livid streaks up and down the side of the man's throat. As Mildred touched it, Ryan registered the pain through his darkness.
Not too good at all.
JB sat up suddenly, fumbled for his glasses, and perched them on his narrow nose.
Ryan looks ill, and Michael. You checked his breathing?
Not yet, John. Ryan hasn't come around, and he's running a triple high temperature. The wound in his neck's gone bad.
I'm surprised. Anything connected with that filthy place was probably poisoned.
Except the candy. Anyone want any? I brought a few of those sticks with me.
Save them. Save them, Dean. Could be we'll be real grateful you thought about bringing them.
Sure. Thing I want most is a good drink. A cold and clear pool of Sierra meltwater. Trade it for most anything.
Air doesn't seem too bad. Hardly the nectar of the gods, but at least it lacks that ghastly, bitter sort of chlorine odor of those foggy canyons.
And it's not too hot either. Better take a look at Michael. I think we have to get Ryan to some water as fast as we can. Cool him down before he burns up. There might be water in some part of the redoubt, assuming that there is a redoubt around us.
Christy had been leaning against the wall, her eyes closed, concentrating on trying to pick up some feelings from the place. The atmosphere was typical of most of the complexes that they'd visited, flat and slightly stale, as if it had been recycled a million times, which it might well have been during the century since Skydark, the hidden nuke generators working away toward infinity and a day. Most redoubts still functioned, with light, heat, air conditioning, and cleaning all working to the comp-controlled program.
Nothing to report. Can't pick up any life vibes.
Dean was standing close to Mildred as she examined Michael.
How is he?
Move back a little. Give me some space. Pupils dilated, breathing very slow, pulse the same. Almost like he slipped into some kind of concussive clinical shock.
JB had already picked up the Steiner and strapped it over his shoulders, handing the Uzi to Dean.
Maybe the third jump was one too many.
Don't know. Hopefully Michael will snap out of it. Probably come around all at once and wonder what on earth could have happened to him. I suppose it might be a psychosis induced by the Matrans.
Delayed reaction to being trolled? I do trust that none of you are aware of this fact, but I confess that my own mind is not always the efficient reasoning machine that it once was. I blame those white-coated demons for that, and for much besides.
Ryan shuffled his feet, the soles of his combat boots scraping on the metal discs in the gateway's floor. The fingers of his right hand kept clenching and straightening, as if he were trying to grasp something.
We should move.
What about Michael, though? We can't just leave him. Won't be easy if we have to try and carry them both.
We can do it if it's not too far. Ryan weighs in around the 200-pound mark. I guess that Michael is probably 50 or 60 pounds lighter.
I could take more blasters, or give a hand with Michael.
You'll have to try it.
I could carry the lad for a way. I still recall how to implement what we used to call the fireman's carry method.
Fine. I can take Ryan for a start. Then maybe Mildred and Christy could spell me for a time.
What about...
Don't worry. You get to be a walking arsenal for the rest of us. Doc's sword as well as the Uzi. And the rifle. Reckon that's the best we can do.
Sure.
Ryan's head rolled from side to side. Mildred stared down at him.
I think I might have to try and cauterize that wound. But we need a fire and some decent water for that. Oh, this infection seems to be racing through him. Massive dose of antibiotics might do it. Time's wasting. No point in hanging around here.
Doc nodded vigorously, kneeling beside Michael's motionless figure.
Could someone give me a hand to get him up on my shoulders?
Without a breath of warning, Michael's eyes opened wide, and he grabbed the old man around the throat.
Die, fucking Satan! Die!
The attack was so sudden and so violent that it took several heartbeats before anyone reacted. By then, Doc was flat on his back in the chamber, Michael kneeling astride him, gripping him around the neck so ferociously that the old man's eyes were protruding from their sockets. Christy moved fastest. She drew the double-action Smith & Wesson 640 from its holster and hit Michael a roundhouse clubbing blow with the butt. He collapsed forward, slumping on top of the semi-conscious Doc.
Holy shit! If I hadn't been holding all these blasters, I'd have aced him!
JB reached into one of the pockets of his coat and removed two lengths of thin wax twine.
I'm going to tie him up before he comes around and does some more damage.
I think it was probably a madness brought on by the jump.
Christy holstered the Smith & Wesson and kneeled by the shaken old man, who was rubbing at his bruised throat with both hands.
Land of Goshen. The poor lad was possessed. I thought my last moment had come. Who stopped him from impersonating the thuggish stranglers of the goddess Kali?
Me. Bapped him with the blaster.
Then you have my heartfelt thanks, my dear Christy. My whole life flashed past me.
Did it really, Doc? Heard people say that before.
Well, if I lay my hand upon my heart, I have to admit that it didn't really, Dean. Just a pounding across the temples and blood filling my eyes.
J.B. quickly and efficiently knotted the cord around Michael's thumbs, behind his back, also lashing the teenager's ankles together.
There. Might be all right, but I'm not taking a chance.
Ryan opened his eye and stared around the gateway chamber.
Pretty color of purple on the walls. Successful jump, then?
He started to lift his hand toward the separating wound on his neck.
No, don't touch it.
What? Fire blast, but my neck feels... I feel triple sick, and... Where are the snows?
Boy, but we're sure all having a load of fun here. One mad and one sick.
It's best we move it. Doc?
Yes, my dear chap.
Can you manage to carry Michael?
I shall resist the temptation to drop him on his skull, if that's what you mean. Though if he commences to struggle, I shall regard that as an adequate excuse.
The chamber opened onto a small room, 8 feet square, with a small table in one corner and two rows of empty shelves. There was a rectangle of white card pinned to one of the shelves, crumpled and fragile.
Paul and Danny, the vidmen. Best selection in all NH. What's that mean?
New Hampshire. Looks like we've ended up in New England.
Can we keep moving? I fear that once I lay this burden down, I shall not be up to taking it up again.
The control room was much like all of the others that they'd seen. Rows of desks and rows of screens, all showing shimmering rows of information. Endless blocks of coded numerals, relating to all the aspects of running the redoubt. Not a sign of any sort of life anywhere. On the far end of the room were the usual double sectors of vanadium steel, with the green control lever set to the right-hand side. JB was far stronger than his slim build would suggest, and he didn't seem to be struggling at all under Ryan's weight.
Dean, you operate the lever. Mildred and Christy, both of you get your blasters ready and crouch down on the floor. You know how to do it. Seen Ryan and me enough times.
Sure. Yeah.
Dean, just about 9 inches, no more. Understand?
Right.
Can I lay down this sleeping beauty for a moment?
Sure. Get the Lama out and keep watch.
Wilco, Commander Dix. You mean to watch the door with the ladies?
No, watch Michael.
He's tied up safely.
Long as he hasn't got some sort of crazy strength to break free, just watch him.
What if he escapes and looks dangerous?
Shoot him, Doc. Just shoot him.
The corridor was bare. Dean was sent off on a wreck to the right, urged to be careful, and returned within less than 2 minutes with the news that the passage ended in a solid wall of stone, only 100 paces or so around the curve. The overhead strip lights glared down pitilessly, and the miniature set cameras probed ceaselessly from the junction of wall and ceiling. Now that they were on a level expanse of smooth concrete, Doc seemed to have a new lease on life, striding out, Michael still unconscious on his shoulders. There were no side passages or doors in the first quarter mile. The corridor had been dead flat, but it now began to wind slowly upward. Doc stopped and gently put Michael down on the floor.
I think a small rest is required.
JB lowered Ryan beside the bound figure of the teenager. He pushed his fedora back on his forehead.
Hard time of it.
Think it'll be much farther?
Dean stood and looked worriedly at his father, who opened his eye.
Father is farthest. Don't ask so many questions, son. We get there when we get there. Shit. This wound on my neck hurts.
Then, Ryan's eye fluttered closed.
Want us to take some of the load? Must be an elevator or some kind of intersection soon.
I don't know where I am. I don't know who I am.
It was Doc who knelt by the boy, brushing the hair away from the dark, troubled eyes.
Your name is Michael, and you are with friends.
You lie!
The ferocity of his earlier mood seemed to have altered to a withdrawn passivity. The planes of the young man's face were as smooth as a little child's.
We are friends, truly.
I'm trapped deep inside my own bowels, all blackness.
His eyes were wide open, staring through Doc. Christy noticed that he was tensing all his muscles, as if he were testing the bonds.
Watch him, Doc. Could be foxing.
Either taking some drug that has made me mad, or I'm totally mad. I can't tell which is the truth.
Neither. You are Michael, and we are friends. I'm Doc. There's Christy, and...
Imps of evil. Brother Athanasius warned us against such as you. You come disguised with fucking smiles and fucking lies!
Best get on, Doc. Want the ladies to take a turn?
Perhaps. I might go ahead on point.
I was doing that! Why don't you watch the back?
There was an uncomfortable moment while the boy and the old man stared at each other.
You've been on point, Dean. Take turns. Keep alert, Doc.
Of course.
Doc stuck out his tongue at Dean when the armorer turned his back, making the lad grin. Mildred took Michael's shoulders and Christy his legs, while JB carried on with Ryan. It was slower and clumsier with two of them, as Michael was conscious and kept wriggling, trying to kick out at Christy. After less than 100 yards, Christy had had enough. Mildred lowered Michael, while JB, just ahead of them, turned around and saw what had happened. He put Ryan down again.
Bitch fucker, shit sucker!
Nice rhyme, Michael. Now, you got a choice here.
Christy rested her western boot on his throat, pinning him between the sole and the heel. She leaned a little of her weight down, making his face flush.
No, that's the sort of thing you say when you're on top and in control. I'm on top, Michael, and you're under control. Better understand that right now.
She pressed harder, feeling the cartilage under her foot.
You swear at me again, or if you try to kick me, then I'll break your neck.
Michael's eyes closed in pain. Mildred was about to interfere when she saw the look of cold anger on Christy's face and kept silent.
I mean it, Michael. You hear? Nod if you hear me. Good. Now when you feel better, you can walk again. Until then, you get carried.
They came to an open area, the corridor forking into a letter Y, a sign on the wall between the two options. An arrow pointed to the left with the single word out. To the right was the word in.
I think we'll go in.
I hope you remember the way out of here, John.
They had been past 7 or 8 multiple-choice branchings of the corridors, each sign becoming more specific and detailed. IC Comms, 2IC Ed, CompCont, R&R, Tranpool, Accounts, Armory, which interested JB a lot. But the most important one, which they all agreed to follow, was the sign directing them toward Medic. The farther they went, the more often they had to stop for a rest. Ryan seemed to have slipped into a sort of coma, occasionally stirring and muttering, but his voice was quiet, the words garbled. JB had carried him for the past 15 minutes, but even his wiry strength had become depleted. Once again he laid him down, while Mildred and Dean, who were taking a turn with Michael, also took a break.
We go into hell. Is the lad recovering his wits, Dr. Wyeth?
Not so as you'd notice. He's quieted, but I think that owes more to Christy scaring the shit out of him than any medical improvement.
There was no sign of life. The air conditioning hummed deep within the walls, but every breath tasted flat and dull, as though it had been circulating for 100 years. They passed a couple of small sections off to the side, and Dean or Christy slipped in to wreck them. But they were all swept totally clean. The evacuation of the redoubt had obviously been carried out with great efficiency. Dean was scouting a little way ahead of the others.
Medics along here!
Mildred was sitting down, her back against the curve of the concrete wall, her eyes closed, her hands folded together in her lap.
It's going to be just like everything else, isn't it?
Likely. But like Trader used to say, you go the last mile, the last bullet, the last breath. We might find something there that'll help Ryan. And maybe Michael.
Oh, Gaia.